morning to turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Book of Daniel, chapter 3, we'll read verses 19 through verse 30. Daniel, chapter 3, verses 19 through verse 30. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This, of course, is Daniel chapter 3, is the record of three men, three Hebrew men, who were bound and cast into a fiery furnace, and how the Lord delivered them from such. By way of background, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, besieged Jerusalem and carried into captivity the best of the people, carried them some 800 miles from their homeland. And of these captives, those that they took captive, the most educated, the most skilled, the most prominent, and the most gifted were selected to be trained in the ways of Babylon. We read this in verses 3 through 5 of chapter 1. Four of these individuals are mentioned there in Daniel 1 and verse 6. Their names are recorded in, their name changes are recorded in chapter 1, verse 7. Daniel chapter 3 is where our text is found and tells of three of these captives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, tells how they refused to bow, refused to bend to the ways of Babylon, refused to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in the plain of Dura. And this, of course, is a very familiar story with God's people. It's a story that thrills the hearts of God's people, and as a reminder, of how great our God is that we serve. And there's a tremendous amount of encouragement here in Daniel chapter 3 from this historical account. In verse 18, we read that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego declared to Nebuchadnezzar, "Be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up." As a result of these three refusing to bend, refusing to bow to the dictates and the ways of Babylon, the verses that we read for our text tell us that Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more. And then notice what happened next in verse 20 and verse 21. He commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then notice what happened next. We see that the story does not end in verse 23, where we read, "These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace." It doesn't end there. That's not where it ends. There's more. We want to take the thought of the message from verse 24 and verse 25, where we read, "In the midst of this fire, there was a fourth man," and that's the one that we want to speak upon this morning, the fourth man. First of all, this fourth man is described or identified. We see what Nebuchadnezzar saw. Nebuchadnezzar peered into the burning fiery furnace. He expected to see only the remains of the incinerated bodies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No doubt that is what he expected to see. But when he looked into that furnace, we read that Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. That is, he was stunned. He was bewildered by what he saw. You see, he did not see the remains of three dead bodies. He saw four men. Not three. He saw four men. And he saw them walking, very much alive, in the flames. Seeing this, he asked his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And the counselors answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." That is, Nebuchadnezzar, you're not mistaken. We cast three men, not four. We cast three men into the furnace, and we did bind them. They were bound when we cast them into this furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Lo," a word of surprise, a word of amazement, a word of wonder. He said, "I see four. I do not see three men. I see four men." He was stunned. He was bewildered. How could anybody be alive in that fire? Not only alive, but walking. Not only walking, but walking with no hurt. Nebuchadnezzar is stunned. He's also stunned and bewildered. Who was this fourth man? Who is this fourth man? I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar went, "Where in the world did he come from? We cast three men into the furnace. Who is this fourth man? And where did he come from? He did not know who it was. He certainly did not know his name. He certainly did not know where he came from. But what Nebuchadnezzar said, and I'm paraphrasing, is, I saw enough to know that he's like God. I don't know who this fourth man is. I don't know how he got there. But what I saw, he's something like God. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. You and I know this fourth man was Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. This fourth man was God himself. He was the God of Israel. He was the God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of Jacob. This fourth man is the Almighty One. Again, he is God himself. He's the Eternal One. He's the Immortal One. He is the Immutable One. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer of all things. This fourth man is the Heir of all things. He is infinite. He's unsearchable. He's immeasurable. He's incomprehensible. This fourth man bewildered Nebuchadnezzar. This fourth man, he's the one and only Redeemer. He's the preeminent one. He's the Master. He's the Provider. He's the Sovereign Monarch of the entire universe. He's Universal King that reigns and controls what men call the balance of nature. That's who this fourth man is. And he's walking in the midst of the fire. He's the one who bears up the pillars of the universe. He's the one that rules and governs and orders and disposes all things. He's the owner of all things. Nebuchadnezzar saw in the midst of those flames. What Nebuchadnezzar saw was none other than Jesus Christ. The question today is, do you know? Do you know this fourth man? Do you know this fourth man that Nebuchadnezzar saw, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced? This fourth man is the one who made all the difference in everything that transpires here in Daniel chapter 3. You see, the difference between Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking in the midst of the fire with no hurt, the difference between them and Nebuchadnezzar's most mighty men that were killed by the fire, the difference between these is the fourth man. That's the difference. That's the entire difference. Again, the story does not end in verse 23. They fell down bound in the midst of the fiery burning fiery furnace. Why doesn't it end there? Because of this fourth man. That's why it doesn't end there. You see, this fourth man makes all the difference. Again, the question is, do you know him? Do you know this fourth man? I want to say that this was not the first time. It's the first time we read of it. But it was not the first time that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced the presence of this fourth man. I believe they lived their lives in the presence of this fourth man. I believe they, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, knew this fourth man very well. Very well. This was not the first time they met him in the burning fiery furnace. They knew him. They knew him well. And I believe they lived in the conscious presence of this fourth man all through this chapter. I believe they lived in the reality of the authority of this fourth man and the reality of the control of this fourth man. I believe this is what comforted them in taking their stand. This is what enabled them. This is what sustained them when they took their stand against Nebuchadnezzar and when they took their stand against the ways of Babylon. You see, they were living in the presence of this fourth man. This is why they were steadfast. This is why they were so courageous. This explains their allegiance. This explains their commitment and their loyalty to God. It was all because of this fourth man. This fourth man. I believe that it was their relationship with this fourth man that caused them to be such a testimony for God. It caused them to be so firm and so decided for God in the very midst of enemy territory. It was their knowledge of this fourth man that gave them their determination, for God I'll live and for God I'll die. You see, that was the thought process of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'll live for him and I'll die for him. But what was it that gave them that determination? What was it that gave them that mindset? I believe it was this fourth man. So again, the question is, do you know? Do you know this fourth man? We also learn some things here about the world that we live in. And the only way to rise above this world is to know this fourth man. But all through Daniel chapter 3, we learn some things about the world. We know that these three men were taken captivity, some 800 miles from their homeland. When they left Judah as captives, they were forced to leave, of course, all their possessions behind. The city that they left was in ruins. Their families had been decimated and scattered. Their businesses had been shattered and ruined. Their wealth had been plundered. Their money had been seized. Everything had been left behind. Certainly, this is not what these captives would have chosen. This is not what they would have chosen. And many times, things happen in the world. It's not what we would choose. But you know what makes the difference? When things happen that you would not have chosen to happen, this fourth man, he makes all the difference in the world. We learn from this chapter that in this world, God's people are going to be in the minority. We read in verse 7 that shortly after the royal orchestra began to play, that all the people and all the nations and all the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. The music played and everybody fell to the ground in reverence. Everybody but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While all these others were bowing, these three were standing, straight as an arrow. And I believe it was all because of what they knew about this fourth man. All because of their knowledge of Jesus Christ. These three men remained on their feet while the great mass around them were bowing. They were in a minority. And God's people are a minority people. But when you know the fourth man, when you live in the reality of the fourth man's presence, you're a majority. Amen. So in a sense, they were a minority. But in another sense, they were the majority. Because they stood with God. We also learn from this chapter that we live in enemy territory. And this world seeks to conform us. In verses 3 and 4, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to Ashpenaz to pick the brightest of these captives, those who seem to be endowed with the most ability. And he says, I want you to bring them to my palace that we can teach them the ways and the language of the Chaldeans. Everything was designed to draw their hearts away from their homeland. Everything was designed to draw their hearts away from the things of God. Everything was designed to draw their hearts toward the luxuries of Babylon. And it's no different today. Everything in this world is designed to draw our hearts away from God. Everything in this world is designed to draw our hearts toward the luxuries of this world. That is true. Today it was true then. And the child of God can only rise above such by living in the reality of this fourth man. Of living in the presence of this fourth man. We also learn from this chapter that we live in a world where you and I will be tested. If you believe anything, you will be tested. You will eventually come to a point in your life where God's standards and Babylon's standards are going to meet head to head. That was the case here in Daniel chapter 3. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when that happens, you have to choose. You have to make a choice between the commands of God and the ways of Babylon. You have to choose. You cannot put this off. You have to make a choice. And there's been several times in all of our lives when the standards of God and the standards of Babylon have met head to head. And there will be more. There will be more. When we have to choose between allegiance to God and allegiance to Babylon. Where we have to stand on one side or the other. Where we have to serve. Either we will serve God or we will serve Babylon. That time comes many times. We're tested. Who will it be? And I believe that those who stand in such times of testing are those who have a living relationship with this fourth man. The ones that know this fourth man. So again, we ask you, do you know this fourth man? We also learn from this chapter that we live in a world where there's going to be some furnaces. Notice verse 21 again. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. I want you to notice that these three men were thrown into the furnace, and in and of themselves, they were helpless. They were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace, bound. They were helpless. There was nothing that they could do. Not only that, the furnace was heated seven times more than its normal heat. There are furnaces. There are burning furnaces, burning fiery furnaces that you and I must experience. They take on many shapes. They take on many forms. There are furnaces. There are furnaces of need. There are furnaces of sorrow. There are furnaces of trials. There are furnaces of tribulations. There are furnaces of difficulties. And sometimes these things are heated seven times more than their normal strength. There are furnaces of heartaches and hurt. There are furnaces of sicknesses. There are furnaces of suffering. And there are furnaces of loss. We all experience some furnace time. You can't get through this life without experiencing some furnace time. But the question is, what do you do When you find yourself in the midst of the furnace, what do you do? What do you do when the flames of circumstances and the flames of a crisis encircle you and you're in the very midst of it? What do you do? What do you do when you're in the furnace of frustration? The answer to those questions depends upon your relationship to that fourth man. It all depends upon our relationship with him. We can pretty much gauge where we are in our relationship with the fourth man when we find ourselves in the furnace, and how do we react. That pretty much tells us where we are. When Nebuchadnezzar peered into that furnace, he saw what the world needs to see today in God's people. The world does not need to see a people who never go through anything. That's not what they need to see. They don't need to see a people who never experience loss. They don't need to see a people who never experience heartbreak. They don't need to see a people who never fight a battle. No, they need to see what Nebuchadnezzar saw. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were real people. The world needs to see real people. And just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in this world, but they were not of this world. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see real people who, yes, are living in this world, but they're not of this world. They need to see people who are able to go through extraordinary things. How in the world did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survive that fire? How did they go into the midst of that furnace and not even be hurt? That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw three men that were able to do extraordinary things. He saw three men, he saw four, but he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw what the world needs to see today, real people going through real things, but they don't quit. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And why didn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quit? All because of that fourth man. All because of the relationship with the fourth man. The world does not need to see quitters. The world does not need to see when there's a time of difficulty that God's people quit. Any lost person can do that. The world needs to see people who are able to go through these things and not quit. Nebuchadnezzar saw these three in the midst of the burning fiery furnace, but he also saw that they weren't alone. That's what the world needs to see in us. They need to see, yes, there's a people, they're going through some furnace time, but they're not alone. Somebody's with them. And the world may not know who it is, they may not know where he came from, but they cannot deny somebody is with them. That's what the world needs to see. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace. He saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were walking around in the fire. They were not sitting over in the corner pining away. They were walking in the midst of the fire. That's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. In other words, they continued to live even in the midst of the fire. That's what the world needs to see of God's people. A people who can go through the furnace, but they continue to live. They don't find a corner to pine away in. They continue to walk even in the midst of the fire. You know what else Nebuchadnezzar saw? He didn't see three men trying to get out. He saw them walking in the midst of fire. They weren't trying to climb the walls. They weren't banging on the doors. Help, help, let me out of here. They were walking in the midst of the fire. And this amazed Nebuchadnezzar. And when the world looks at us, they ought to be amazed. They ought to see that fourth man. They were not complaining. They were walking in the midst of the fire. They were not feeling sorry for themselves. They were walking in the midst of the fire. They were not acting dejected. They were walking in the midst of the fire. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe it's so. They were walking in the midst of the fire, and they were in good spirits, and they had a good attitude the whole time. You know why? All because of that fourth man. You see, he made all the difference, this fourth man. Jesus was with them in their darkest hour. And together with him, they faced the furnace. I am so glad today that I know that I'm going to have furnace time, but I also know that I'll never have to face the furnace alone. That fourth man, Jesus Christ. He's already in the furnace. He's already there. Before I get there, because of this fourth man, again, they're cast into the fire. They were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 23, they fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There they are. They're bound in the furnace. And there is the fourth man. And immediately, that which bound them is broken. Now, a lot of people believe, and you can believe what you want to, but a lot of people believe that it was the fire that broke those bonds. I believe it was the fourth man. I believe the fourth man tore that which bound them, tore it asunder, and immediately they were free. And they found consolation in the furnace. They found freedom in the furnace. They found fellowship with the fourth man in the furnace. They found joy. They found strength, all because the fourth man was there in that furnace. And I see them in my own mind. They're clapping their hands. They're singing. If they knew the song Victory in Jesus, they were singing it right then. And it was all because of this fourth man. You see, he made all the difference. Now, back in chapter 1, we see that, again, Ashpenaz was to pick the men who were most skillful, the men who were the most wise, those who were the most knowledgeable, those who had the most understanding and ability. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were skillful men. They were men of wisdom. They were men of knowledge, men of understanding, men of great ability. But mark it down, that is not what got them through the furnace. That's not what got them through. And it is not your skill that'll get you through the furnace. It's not your wisdom. It's not your knowledge. It's not your understanding. It's not your ability. It's that fourth man, Jesus Christ. Now, you can, if you want to, depend on your skill. I'd rather depend on the fourth man. You can depend on your wisdom, your understanding, and your ability if you want to. But it makes much more sense to just depend on that fourth man. So what got them through the furnace was not their skill. It was this fourth man. What made the difference was the fourth man. And today, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, whatever the need, whatever the impossibility, whatever the problem, whatever the condition, whatever the obstacle, whatever the challenge, The one who makes the difference is that fourth man. Not our skill. Not our knowledge. It's also important to notice that though there were four in the furnace, only three came out. You don't read of four coming out. You read of three coming out. And I believe that's significant. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is there before we get there. And whatever furnace we have to go through, He's already there. Whatever river we have to cross, He's already there. Whatever mountain you have to climb, He's already there. He didn't come out of that furnace. He's still there. And when we get there, He'll be there. That's wonderful to know. And then I want you to notice also, we read in verse 30 and we'll close. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. These three men not only came out of the furnace, they were promoted. And that's true of you and I. We live in this world. We've got some furnaces to go through. We've got some furnace time. God will be with us in the midst of the furnace, and God will bring us out of the furnace. But there's yet to come a day when you and I will be promoted above all the furnaces of this life. Promotion day is coming for the child of God, where we'll have no more furnaces to go through. We have furnaces to go through in this life, but that fourth man will be there. And we can find consolation in the fourth man. We can find strength. We can find joy. We can find everything we need in that fourth man. And the world needs to see us going through things. And they need to see there's a difference. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible testimony when the world looks at a child of God going through a trial and they act worse than the world acts. Or act the same. It's terrible. You ought to see a difference. And they will if we have a living relationship with that fourth man. And then there's coming a day when you and I are going to be raised above all the furnaces of this world. And then we'll see even more clearly that fourth man. We shall see him as he is, in all his beauty, in all his glory. And what a day. What a day that will be. But until then, we have some furnaces to go through. But we have the assurance that the same one who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be there when we're cast into the furnace as well. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse